You look at standard moving averages, your 50 periods, your 200s, and well, the glaring issue is that they are fundamentally blind.
Right, completely blind.
Yeah, they're blind to the one thing that actually moves the ES or the NQ, which is, volume. I mean, a moving average only cares about time and price.
It treats a single contract the exact same way it treats 10,000 contracts.
Exactly. Gives them the exact same respect. And if you're trying to read institutional order flow, it's just a fatal flaw.
It's entirely disconnected from how the auction actually functions.
All right.
I mean, moving averages are basically retail lagging indicators. But VWAP, on the other hand, the volume weighted average price, that's an institutional execution benchmark.
It's the baseline.
Yeah, it's the mathematical definition of fair value for the session because it physically forces Trice to respect volume. Like when massive volume transacts at a specific level, the VWAP line is violently yanked toward it.
Right. And if price just, drifts higher on thin retail-sized volume.
The VWAP barely twitches. It remains anchored right where the actual size was done.
I always think of moving averages, like counting footprints on a dirt trail. You can see how many times people walked by, but you have no idea.
You don't know if it was a toddler or a 300-pound guy carrying a boulder.
Yes, exactly. You don't know the weight. VWAP actually measures how heavy those footsteps are. So if a massive institutional player stomps on a specific price, the VWAP, it feels the weight of that order and adjusts the center of gravity for the entire chart.
And look, that gravitational pull is not a metaphor. It's a structural reality of the market. Large algorithmic execution engines, the ones moving thousands of contracts at a time, they are programmed with VWAP as their absolute baseline.
Their benchmark for the day.
Right. So if an execution algo is tasked with accumulating a massive position over, say, a 6-hour period, it gets graded on its fill price relative to the VWAP.
So buying below VWAP is categorized as cheap.
Exactly. And selling above it is categorized as expensive.
Yeah.
Because of this programmed mandate across the entire industry, it creates this immense self-fulfilling gravitational pull.
Right. So when the NQ drifts below VWAP, institutions step in to buy because to them it registers as a discount to fair value.
Yep. And when it stretches too far above, they just shut off their bids and the market naturally rotates back down.
But you can't measure that gravity, right? You can't calculate that fair value without a definitive starting point.
You need an anchor.
Right. The VWAP is completely meaningless unless you establish the correct anchor setting to begin accumulating that price and volume data. You have to know when the institutions are starting their clock.
Which is why for day trading the ES and NQ, you have the daily resets. You've got your RTs, the regular trading hours starting at the 9:30 a.m. Eastern Bell, and then your ETH, the extended trading hours that include the overnight session.
And the RTE VWAP is really the cleanest representation of daytime institutional participation, right?
By far, it filters out all that low volume overnight drift. I mean, the overnight session is largely just hedging activities or, Asian and European retail and bank flow.
It dilutes the U.S. session intent.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
dilutes the intent. You want to isolate the cost basis of the players who step in aggressively right at that 9.3 to bell.
Well, let me push back on that 9.30 open for a second, though, because if we know the RDA's VWAP is this ultimate institutional center of gravity, why is the line so incredibly useless and choppy for like the first 10 or 15 minutes right after the opening bell?
Oh, the early morning chop.
Yeah, I mean, you try to trade off it at 9:33 a.m. and you're just going to get chopped to pieces. So why wouldn't we just stick to the 24-hour ETH VWAP so we always have a stable line to work with at the open?
Well, because stability derived from irrelevant volume gives you a false signal.
Okay, fair.
The reason the Arik VWAP is mathematically unstable at that 9.3A bell is that the denominator in the calculation is essentially zero. I mean, there is barely any volume data accumulated for the new session yet.
Right, the bucket is empty.
Exactly. So a single large market order from an aggressive participant causes the line to just jump wildly. But as the session matures, 30 minutes, an hour, and millions of contracts have transacted, the denominator grows massive.
So it takes way more volume to move the needle.
Right. At that point, it takes an extraordinary amount of localized volume to significantly move the VWAP. The line stabilizes and becomes the rigid backbone of the session. You have to accept the early morning chop because it's the only way to accurately track the localized inventory of the current day's participants.
That makes total sense. The weight hasn't accumulated yet. And that instability problem, It doesn't just happen on the intraday time frame, does it? You see the exact same mathematical vulnerability when you scale up to higher time frames for swing trading.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if you're using a weekly or a monthly reset to determine your macro bias, you run straight into what we call the Monday problem.
The Monday problem is just a classic algorithmic trap. I mean, a weekly VWAP resets on Sunday evening or Monday morning, right? So by Monday at 10:30 a.m., it suffers from the exact same lack of data as the daily VWAP does at 9:35 a.m.
It's just hypersensitive to every minor fluctuation.
Exactly. The professional solution to smooth out that early week noise is utilizing a rolling VWAP.
Right. So you set a rolling look-back window, usually 5 days or 21 days.
Yep. It doesn't hard reset on Monday morning. It simply looks back over the last 5 sessions, continuously updating.
So you maintain that thick, heavy accumulation of volume data.
Exactly. It gives you a perfectly stable read on the weekly fair value without that awful Monday morning whiplash.
And of course, if a massive macro news event drops, like CPI or a Fed rate decision, you manually anchor the VWAP to that exact minute.
Yes. Manually anchoring to a liquidity event strips away all the historical noise.
Yeah. It
gives you the volume-weighted average price of all participants who entered the market strictly after that specific catalyst.
So it tells you exactly who is trapped and who's in control since the news broke.
Precisely. But, you know, establishing that fair value center line, whether it's daily, rolling, or anchored, that's only half the architecture.
Right, you need the boundaries.
Exactly. Once you have the anchor, you need to map the extremes. You need to know where fair value ends and irrational extension begins.
And this is where we bring in the volume-weighted standard deviation bands, the sigma bands. You wrap these bands around the core VWAP line to define the structural edges of the market.
Right.
So the first boundary is the plus and minus one sigma band. And statistically, roughly 68% of all trading activity for that session is going to happen inside those one sigma bands.
It's the core rotation zone.
Yeah, I look at the one sigma band like the Earth's atmosphere. Like, if the NQ is bouncing around inside of it, it's just dealing with normal gravity. It's rotating around fair value.
That inner zone is the primary containment area. As long as price oscillates within plus or minus one sigma, the market is in a state of relative balance. But the critical shift that occurs when the market actually closes outside of that boundary.
When aggregate fair value is being aggressively repriced.
Exactly. The volume profile completely shifts.
Going back to the atmosphere analogy, if aggressive buyers step in, rip the price through the plus one sigma band, and it actually holds outside of it, I mean, the market has achieved escape velocity.
It has. It's no longer rotating. It is in a strong directional trend.
Right. And if you see price writing outside that one sigma band and you decide to step in front of it to try and, you know, short the top, it is a very quick way to blow a funded account.
Oh, it's financial suicide. You're fighting structural order flow at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, the catalyst for pushing outside that one sigma band is often tied directly to the options market.
The zero DTE flow.
Exactly. When you're dealing with massive zero DTE volume, the GEX profile of the market, the gamma exposure, that becomes a massive accelerant. Well, if dealers are in negative gamma and price pushes outside the one sigma band, those market makers are physically forced to buy the underlying futures to delta hedge their books.
Wow. So that mechanical hedging just adds violent fuel to the directional fire.
Yep. Pushing price rapidly toward the outer extremes.
And those outer extremes are where things get incredibly interesting. We're talking about the plus and minus two sigma bands, which capture roughly 95% of all session activity.
Right. So touching the two sigma band is a statistical anomaly.
Yeah. It means price has stretched so far away from the volume-weighted center that it requires an unsustainable amount of aggressive buying or selling to push it any further.
And if you stretch out even further to the 2.5 or 3 sigma bands, you are looking at maximum market extension.
Yeah.
I mean, these levels are tested in less than 1 to 3% of all sessions.
That's incredibly rare.
They are the absolute exhaustion zones. The elastic band is stretched to its absolute breaking point. This is where the aggressive participants who drove the move finally exhaust their liquidity, and the mean reversion algorithms step in to fade the extreme.
Providing those setups for a rotation back to the VWAP.
Exactly.
But, you know, mapping these statistical edges doesn't automatically print money. I mean, knowing the math behind the bands doesn't mean anything if you don't have the tactics to execute without getting run over by the algos.
Right. Context is everything.
Yeah. The entire context shifts based on the behavior of the VWAP line itself. So let's look at a trend pullback scenario.
Context begins with the slope. The slope dictates the aggregate order flow intent. If the core VWAP line is pointing hard up or hard down, the market is aggressively directional.
It's actively discovering new prices.
Right. It is not seeking balance. So in this environment, you do not fade the extremes. The strategy is to wait for the aggressive participants to pause, allowing the price to naturally pull back to the VWAP line or the 1 sigma band.
And when it pulls back, you aren't just placing a blind limit order and praying,
right?
You are watching the footprint chart. You want to see price hit that rising VWAP line, and you want to see aggressive sellers try to push it lower. But the price stops moving? You want to see absorption.
Exactly.
Like thousands of sell market orders hit the tape, but the bid doesn't drop a single tick.
This is where observing your CVD, your cumulative volume delta, becomes completely critical. CVD tracks the net difference between aggressive buyers hitting the ask and aggressive sellers hitting the bid.
Right.
So if the ES pulls back 10 points to the rising VWAP and your CVD is aggressively negative, but the price completely stalls at the VWAP line, what does that mechanical reality tell you?
It tells you the aggressive selling is being entirely absorbed by massive passive limit orders. The institutions are just sitting on the bid at fair value, soaking up all the retail panic selling.
Yep.
They are reloading their longs without pushing the price up, which confirms the trend is intact. Then you enter in the direction of the slope. But the trap here, and this is a big one, is failing to read the inverse slope.
Oh, the falling knife.
Yeah. If the VWAP is sloping sharply downward, representing aggressive institutional distribution, and you decide to buy a touch of the VWAP from below just because you think it's support,
you're stepping directly into a heavy algorithmic distribution cycle.
Exactly. A sharply falling VWAP is major dynamic resistance. The algos are using that line to reload their short inventory at a premium. You never buy into a falling VWAP.
Never.
But let's flip the environment entirely. What happens when that slope dies? Like, if the algos aren't aggressively pushing VWAP up or down anymore, how does the behavior at the extremes change?
Well, this is the mean reversion environment. You are looking at a market where the VWAP slope is completely flat, it's ranging, the institutions are just accumulating within a defined box.
And this is where those spikes to the outer bands, the plus 2.5 or plus 3 sigma, become prime countertrend opportunities.
Right. In a flat slope environment, when the ES rips violently into a 3 sigma band, the probability of an immediate structural reversal is exceptionally high.
Because the volume required to sustain that extension simply isn't there.
Exactly. The market exhausts itself, the liquidity dries up, and the price just snaps back toward the center line.
But if you're listening to this and you've ever, say, shorted the NQ just because the RSI looked overbought at a 2 sigma band, you've probably felt the agonizing pain of the market just grinding against you for 3 hours.
Those were brutal.
Right, it's brutal. So if touching the 2 sigma band is a statistical anomaly, why can't traders just blindly hit the sell button the second it touches the line?
Because the market does not owe you a reversion. Assuming a statistical anomaly is an automatic turning point is the classic retail trap.
The 2 sigma trap.
Yeah, you see a strong trend, the price touches the plus 2 sigma band, you assume it's overbought and you short it. But the algorithmic execution engines immediately detect the clusters of buy stops sitting just above the current price from all those early retail shorts.
Oh, wow. So they just target them.
They drive the price directly into those stops. It's a localized snowball rolling downhill, just gathering algorithmic momentum as it triggers liquidation after liquidation.
So instead of reversing, the market rides the band. It literally pins itself to the 2 sigma line and grinds higher, hunting liquidity and completely destroying counter trend traders.
Exactly.
So how do you actually time the mean reversion without getting run over by that algorithmic snowball?
You demand structural confirmation. You never blindly fade the extension. First, you wait for the VWAP slope to explicitly flatten, which indicates the overall momentum has died.
Right.
Then you zoom into a lower time frame, like a 1 minute chart, and you look for a definitive structural rejection at the band. You want to see the stop run play out.
The actual trap.
Right. A quick, violent spike above the band that immediately fails, leaving behind a massive volume node on the tape that goes nowhere. You only take the counter trend trade when the order flow proves that the aggressive buyers have fully capitulated and the engine is stalled.
So you wait for the stop run to trigger, which provides the liquidity the smart money needs to dump their longs, and then you take the ride back down.
Exactly. That mechanical confirmation changes the entire approach to fading extremes.
It really does. But, you know, everything we've discussed so far is isolated to the current day's price action. And the structural reality of VWAP extends beyond a single session. we have to talk about institutional memory and prior period VWAP levels.
Yeah, this is huge. Many traders confuse the VWAP with the POC, the point of control from a volume profile.
Right, totally different concept.
The POC, the value area high, the value area low, those are static volume at price metrics. They just tell you where volume transacted historically.
But the VWAP is dynamic.
Yes. The VWAP is a dynamic continuous anchor that calculates the average cost basis based on time and volume. And an institution's average cost basis doesn't magically reset at midnight.
Right.
If an algorithmic fund spent all of yesterday accumulating NQ contracts at a specific VWAP level, that exact price remains a critical zone of interest today.
Because retail traders, you know, they erase their charts at the end of the day, but execution algorithms have memory.
They do.
It creates these massive invisible brick walls on the chart. Like, you'll see the ES driving higher. It looks like there's no resistance in sight. And suddenly it hits a ceiling and reverses to the exact tick.
And you look left and there is absolutely nothing there from today's price action.
Exactly. But if you project yesterday's closing RTH VWAP line forward, it's an exact test of that level.
Prior period VWAP levels transition from being dynamic intraday averages into fixed horizontal support and resistance zones. When current price action aligns with a prior period VWAP, especially from the previous day or the previous week's close, the probability of a sharp, localized reaction is incredibly high.
Because you are intersecting with established institutional inventory.
The algos remember exactly where their size was executed.
Wow. So when we synthesize the mechanics of the anchor, the deviation bands, the slopes, and these prior period levels, what does this actually look like for your daily execution? I mean, it means understanding that VWAP is not a crystal ball.
No, definitely not.
It doesn't magically predict the future. It is strictly a lagging mathematical representation of the center of gravity of traded volume. Uh-huh. It tells you where the size was done, and it gives you the statistical boundaries of that volume.
Right. But it has to be combined with a deep understanding of market structure. Hmm. You know, the context of the slope and the actual footprint of the order flow at those extremes.
Because if you blindly trade the bands without reading the slope or tracking the cumulative volume delta, you will be trapped.
Oh, absolutely. If you assume a one sigma break is a mean reversion rather than a trend continuation driven by, you know, dealer gamma hedging,
yeah,
you will be run over.
The tool is mathematically objective, but the application requires reading the context of the auction. You use the VWAP to define the sandbox, and you use order flow to determine who is actually winning the fight inside of it.
That's exactly it.
Which leaves us with a fascinating dynamic to consider the next time you sit at the screens. Think about this. If the largest institutions in the world, the algorithmic giants that actually move the market, are hard-coded to use the core VWAP line as their absolute benchmark for what is fair, cheap, or expensive, who exactly is providing the liquidity and taking the other side of their massive trades out at those highly abnormal, irrational plus or minus three sigma extremes? So for those of you looking to accurately plot these volume-weighted standard deviation bands, automatically extend prior period levels, and run custom algorithmic resets directly on your charts, you can utilize the Motive Wave Wickflow VWAP study. You can find more information on how to integrate that at wickflow.com.